Take the subject of our study tonight from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 24. Days and day of Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 19, Jesus said, "But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days." Verse 22, "And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." Verse 29 of Matthew 24, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken." And then in Matthew 24, and in verse 36, "But of that day," singular, "and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." There are many beliefs regarding the days and day of Matthew chapter 24. Many beliefs. But primarily I want to talk about two beliefs tonight regarding these days and day. First of all, some see the days under consideration, and I think rightfully so, as being the days of the Roman and Jewish wars, which culminated in the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 A.D. And then there are those who believe that the day, singular under consideration, is the day of the Lord Jesus Christ in His second coming. And then there are those who believe that the days, plural in the text, along with the day singular in the text, all have reference to the very same thing. That is, the days of the Roman and Jewish wars culminating in the destruction of Jerusalem and Jesus coming in that judgment as the day of the Lord. So the days and the day, to some, have reference to the very same thing. But the days and day to others have reference to two different events. I believe that the days and the day have reference to the same period, the same time that is under consideration. It has reference to the days of the Roman and Jewish wars culminating in the destruction of Jerusalem, and that being the day, the great day of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the judgment upon that nation and upon the city of Jerusalem. I believe the context in which we find our study bears that out, as well as other teachings in the New Testament and the Old Testament as well. First of all, as we begin our study in regard to this, we note in Mark 13, in verse 32, "But of that day and hour knows no one, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son of Man, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is." The reason I bring this up is I want to define the word days for us under consideration and the word day. If you told someone that you were reading a book concerning the days of World War II, they would understand that you're reading a book regarding the events and the circumstances of that period or that time of World War II. That is, they would understand that you're using the word days in reference to the time and the period of that war. Now, if you said that as you were reading that book regarding the days of World War II, and now you were in the chapter regarding D-Day, they would clearly understand that D-Day is a day in that time of the days of World War II. You remember D-Day, the invasion of Normandy by the Allied forces. Well, that was a day. That was a time within the time. It was a period within that period. And when we look at the word days and day in our context, that's how we need to look at them. As a period of time, as a time regarding certain circumstances taking place in a historical setting. Now, the word days and day are used in different ways in the Scripture, of course. Sometimes they literally mean days, plural, like a 24-hour day. But in our text, it can't have reference to a 24-hour day. Days has reference to an indefinite, an unlimited period of time, undetermined period of time, like the days of your life. You're living the days of your life now, but the days of your life is undetermined and unidentified because you're still alive. And sometimes you might speak of a day in someone's life. You're speaking of a period of time within the days of their life. And that's how we need to look at the word days and days in our study under consideration. So back to the passage we just read in Mark's account, in Mark 13, in verse 32. But of that day and hour no one knows, know this, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. Time and day are synonymous in our text under consideration. Different words, but they're synonymous. The day under consideration is a time period. Now, I want you to note closely that it says day and hour. That is, it is a precise, set, or appointed time within the days. A certain time period. So we see in the context, Mark 13 as part of the destruction of Jerusalem, so we see the word day and time being used synonymous. When we see the words days and day in our study of Matthew 24, we also need to understand that when he refers to days and day, it has reference to the question that they had posed to him in Luke 21, in Luke's account, in verse 7. So they asked him, saying, Teacher, but when will these things be? Now, if you ask someone, if they said, well, let's have a dinner one day this week, what are you going to say? When? By the word when, you're asking what time, what day. That's what they're asking. That's exactly what they're asking. When is these things going to take place? What time? What day? Do we not see that in the text without reading all of that? So when you read days and day, think of time. It is a period of time, an undetermined, unidentified period of time in the history of Israel, in the city of Jerusalem that is under consideration. And then when you see the day, it is an unidentified, undetermined amount of time within that time period. So to begin our study, let's start with the Great Commission. Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24. And you say, well, why start with the Great Commission? Because I want to illustrate with the Great Commission. If you were going to begin a study of the Great Commission, you would look at each account of the giving of the Great Commission. You wouldn't just look at Matthew's account and suppose that, well, you have a proper and right understanding of all that the New Testament said in regard to the Great Commission. It's a Bible principle that when you get ready to study a particular subject, such as days and day of Matthew 24, you ought to look at everything concerning days and day of a period of time in history like that as such. And so the same thing would be true in regard to the study of the Great Commission. You'd look at all accounts so you could determine the truth. And so when we come to our study under consideration of the days and day of Matthew 24, we look not only at Matthew 24 and his account, but we look at Mark's account in Mark 13, 1 through verse 37. We look at Luke's account, and we look in Luke 21, and we look in Luke 17. Now some people simply look over Luke 17. They disregard it. Why? Because it will not come up with their view. I want to suggest that to you. It will not support their view or their thinking, so they eliminate Luke 17. But all that Luke does is he mentions the destruction of Jerusalem in two different places in his gospel account. Mark consolidates all of it in one place. Matthew consolidates all of it in one place. Luke simply takes two different places in his gospel account to speak about the destruction of Jerusalem. And that's why we find it mentioned in Luke 21 and Luke 17. But in order to get the full understanding of the days and the day concerning this time, we have to look at all accounts. All accounts. Let's begin by noticing the questions that the apostles posed on this occasion. Remember, each one of the accounts, and I'm hoping that you've read these recently since we've been studying this. Remember, in each one of the accounts, Jesus had just told them that there was a time coming in which the temple was going to be destroyed and not one stone would be left upon another. Well, in Matthew's account, Matthew's has the apostles who were present asking the question, when will these things be? Well, Mark's account and Luke's account agree with that question. They want to know when these things will be. When are these stones going to be torn down? When's the temple going to be destroyed? When's the city of Jerusalem going to be destroyed and not one stone left upon another? When? They're asking for the time. But guess what? In the context, Jesus never answers the question. Of that day and time, no one knows, not even me. Only God in heaven knows. So Jesus never answers that question. He never gives them the specific time when it's going to take place. Now note the next question that was asked. We see that Matthew's account seems a little different from Mark's and Luke's account. But note Mark and Luke's account first. What will be the sign when all of these things will be fulfilled? Luke's account is, what sign will there be when these things are about to take place? So they're asking about signs. Now we know that Jesus answers this question because he gives them signs, more than one. But primary sign was when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Nigel standing in the holy place. That was the primary sign, but there were other signs as well given to indicate that that time period was then or nearby. And so they're asking about signs. Evidently, when Matthew records his account, and what will be the sign? Note, he's asking the same thing. What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? But Mark and Luke doesn't put that in their question, do they? Why is that? Because Mark and Luke evidently understood that the things that are going to take place are taking place at the time when the Son of Man comes. And they will take place at the end of the age. Not the end of the world. Matthew 24 and in verse 3, the King James Version uses the word world. It's the end of the age. That's the word, age, has reference to a time period. The end of the time of the nation of Israel. The end of the Jewish dispensation. That's what's under consideration. So the coming of the Son of Man would be at the end of that age. And so even though Mark and Luke does not mention the coming of the Son of Man, the coming of Christ, they fully understand that at the end of the age, the Son of Man will be coming. I know they recognize and realize that because in their account, we see in Mark 13 in verse 26, then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Luke 21 and verse 27. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So even though their question, their second question, doesn't ask about the coming of Christ, they understand that the coming of Christ or the coming of Son of Man is involved with the end of the age, the end of the Jewish dispensation, the end of the nation of Israel. But what coming is this? What coming is this? Is this the second coming of Christ? Is that the coming that is under consideration? In Matthew 10 and verse 23, note this. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus has gathered his apostles. He has identified them as apostles, and he is giving them the limited commission. And part of the instruction is that when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Does the coming of the Son of Man there refer to the second coming of Christ? Surely they made their way through the cities of Israel before Christ comes in his second coming. He hasn't come yet. The coming of the Son of Man there could not be the second coming, could it? Because they did not make their way through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man come. When did the Son of Man come? He came on the day of Pentecost when the church came into existence. In Mark 9 and in verse 1, and he said to them, assuredly I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power. Word translated present here is translated in the King James Version, come. The same word translated comes back here in Matthew 10 and verse 23. Same word. So those who are living when Jesus says this will not taste death. They will not experience death till they see the kingdom of God present with power. Till they see the kingdom of God come with power. When did the kingdom come? Well, it came when the power came. And the power came on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And when the power came, the Son of Man came. That's when he came. So it wasn't a literal physical coming. So we understand that every time we read in the Scripture about the coming of Christ, it doesn't have to be a literal physical coming of Christ. I want to suggest to you that the coming under consideration in our text of Matthew 24 and Luke 21 and Luke 17 and Mark 13 is his coming in judgment upon the city of Jerusalem. As we read this morning in Hebrews 10 and verse 36, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Yet in a little while, he who is coming. That's the promise. He is coming in a little while. Some versions render that a very little while. In a very short period of time, the Lord is coming and he will not tarry. As a matter of fact, they could already see the days of his coming. Not a physical, literal coming, but a coming of judgment upon the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. In Hebrews 10 and verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. What day could they see approaching? Note that singular. What day could they see approaching? Well, yet in a little while, he who is coming will come. I want to suggest to you that the day that is approaching is the day of the Lord. Not the Lord's day, not Sunday, but the day of the Lord in which he will execute and carry out vengeance and judgment upon the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. That's the day under consideration. They could see it approaching. They could see the signs that Jesus had given. That was recorded in Matthew's account, Luke's account, Mark's account. These signs were known to the people of that time. If they were not known to the people of that time, there would have been no need for them to be looking. But they were looking for the coming of the Son of Man in judgment upon the city of Jerusalem. they were looking for. As a matter of fact, the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 13, in verse 13, therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp bearing his reproach. Outside the camp simply means outside the city, outside the camp of Israel, outside the city of Israel, outside the city of Jerusalem. For, there's that little Greek conjunction gar gives a reason for that statement. For here we have no continuing city. The city of Jerusalem is not going to continue. It's not going to remain because it's going to be destroyed. Now we could look at other things in the book of Hebrews, but I think you get the point. That the Lord came in judgment upon the city of Jerusalem. That was the coming of the Lord. Not His second coming, but His coming upon judgment upon the nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. It's clear in Luke's account, in Luke chapter 17, that this time, this period in which Christ would come in judgment upon Israel and the city of Jerusalem involved both days and day. In Luke's account, Luke 17 and verse 22, then he said to the disciples, the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. Yes, the days will come when they will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. One of the days when they have opportunity to repent, but they'll not see it. Because they would never repent. If they had, he might not have come when he did. Luke 17 and verse 24. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part unto heaven shines the other part unto heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. Note that, his day. Why is it referred to as his day? Is it Sunday? No, it's his day, the Lord's day. It's the great day of the Lord in which he executes judgment and vengeance upon the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. So see, the coming of the Lord involves both days and day. It involves a big time period of time, and it also involves, you might say, a small time period of time. A day, not a 24-hour period. But an indefinite period of time, undefined period of time by the word day. Again, in Luke 17, in verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. Still in the context, speaking of the destruction of Jerusalem. So it mentions days during that time. But it also mentions a day, Luke 17 and verse 30. Even so will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So is the day that he's going to be revealed in his second coming? Or is the day simply a time within the time that he carries out judgment upon the nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem? That's what I believe it is. In Matthew 24 and in verse 19, but woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because we see Luke's account in Luke 17. It involves both days and day. Both days and day is involved. Well, when we look at each one of the gospel accounts, we see the very same thing. That both days and a day is involved in the Lord's coming in judgment upon the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. Matthew 24 and in verse 19, woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. Verse 22 of Matthew 24, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Matthew 24 and in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Verse 36 of Matthew 24, but of that day, what day? A day within that time period. That's what's under consideration. It's in harmony with Luke 17. The day of the Lord. The day in which He will be revealed. Mark's account is the very same thing. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. We have days plural. In that time. Mark 13 and verse 19. For in those days, during that time, there will be tribulation such as not been since the beginning of creation. Mark 13 and verse 20. And unless the Lord had shortened that time, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened that time. Those days. But in those days after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened. Those days. And then Mark 13 and verse 32. But of that day. Note this, of that day and hour no one knows. They had asked, when will these things be? He did not answer that question. Because no one knows the answer, he says. It is a set and appointed time that God has in his own mind. The Son doesn't know it, but only the Father. God has determined the time. God has set the time. He has appointed the time. And that time, that is the specific time. Note day and hour. It's a specific time within a time. The specific day and hour and moment this is going to happen had been revealed. But signs are given of the overall time period when it will take place. We see the same thing in Luke's account, Luke 21 and verse 6. These things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone will be left upon another. Luke 21 and verse 22. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Now some come to this verse here, all things that are written may be fulfilled. And they say all things that are written will be fulfilled. Well, there are many things written in the Scriptures that have yet to be fulfilled. The all things must be kept in the context. The all things concerning the destruction of the nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. That's the all things of the context. All things regarding the end days of the nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem will be fulfilled during those days. We studied the end time not long ago, looking at different prophets, primarily the prophet Daniel as he prophesied about the end days. Even looked all the way back in the book of Deuteronomy in regard to Moses' instructions to the nation of Israel regarding their end period or the end of their days. Luke 21 and verse 23, days again, but woe to those who are pregnant, to those who are nursing babies in those days. Luke 21 and verse 34, but take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be weighted down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. What day? Well, a time within that time. That's what's under consideration. A time within that time, you say. Well, now, preacher, you're wrong, because it says, for it will come as a snare on all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. I'm afraid that one of the reasons why there's a great misunderstanding about the destruction of Jerusalem and the days is because of poor translation. Poor translation. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Now note that. That's verse 35 of Luke 21. The passage we just read in Luke 21 and verse 23. Read again. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon the people. There's the word, in the land. And that's the way it should have been translated here in Luke 21 and verse 35. It's the land that is under consideration. Same word. If you look at Young's literal translation, that's the way he renders it. Because it's the land that is under consideration. Note this, but take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be weighted down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly, upon you Jews unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell. The word dwell here literally means to sit. Metaphorically means to dwell or live on the face of the whole earth. No, on the face of all the land, Young's literal translation says. Now this is the same language that is used in the Old Testament that was used to describe the destruction of Israel when the Babylonians came and destroyed Jerusalem and took Judah away in the Babylonian captivity. Zephaniah and Zephaniah 1 and verse 14 and following. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they've sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuse. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, for the whole land, know that, not the whole earth, but the whole land, all the land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he will make speedy riddance, and here's the same thing we read a few moments ago in Luke's account. He will make speedy riddance of all those who dwell, sit, live in the land. Same language used to describe the destruction of Judah and the city of Jerusalem by the Babylonians is used in our accounts regarding the same thing by the Romans in 70 AD. Why wouldn't it be used? The same thing is happening. It's just a different time period and a different army carrying out God's purpose upon unfaithful and ungodly people. We see the same thing expressed in Jeremiah 24 and in verse 10. And I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them, till they are consumed from the land that I give to them and to their fathers. So we see that even in Matthew, Mark, Luke's account, each one of them describes this time of judgment, this time of the coming of the Son of Man. Each one of them describes it as involving days and a day. Days and a day. It all refers to the same thing. All refers to the same thing. Because that's exactly the way the destruction of Jerusalem and the nation of Judah was described in the Old Testament. So why shouldn't it be described that way in the New Testament? For example, in Jeremiah 7 and verse 32 and following, he spoke of the days in which the Babylonians would come and destroy the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Judah. Therefore, behold, the days, plural, are coming, says the Lord, when it will no more be called Tophet, or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they will bury in Tophet until there is no room. The corpses of this people will be food for the birds of the heaven, for the beasts of the earth, and no one will frighten them away. Then I will cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of myrrh and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. So Jeremiah spoke of that time as days. And so did Isaiah. Isaiah 39 and in verse 5, then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. So the prophets describe that time period as days. But they also describe that same time as the day of the Lord. Zephaniah 1 and verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There is the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. Do we not see that when the prophets describe the destruction of Judah and the city of Jerusalem by the Babylonians, they involve both days and day? So why wouldn't the New Testament writers describe the destruction of Israel and Jerusalem in the same way? The prophet Amos, Amos 5 and verse 18, "But woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. For what good is the day of the Lord to you? It will be darkness and not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or as though he went into the house, leaned his hands on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is it not very dark with no brightness in it?" So the prophets describe the time in which the Babylonians were going to come and destroy Judah and the city of Jerusalem as involving days and a day. And I want to suggest to you that Matthew describes it the same way when the Romans destroyed Israel and the city of Jerusalem. Mark describes it in the same way. Luke describes it in the same way. The time of the Lord's judgment upon Israel and the city of Jerusalem involved both days and a day. That's my understanding of the days and day of Matthew 24. If I did not do anything but confuse you, then perhaps you'll go home and study it further and decide, well, what is under consideration? Are the days and a day separate events? Are the days and the day the same time period under consideration? I hope you'll come to understand it to be the latter, because I believe that to be the truth of the matter. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, why not become one through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of your sins? If you're a child of God and you have sin in your life, repent of that sin. If need be, we'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.